You're now listening to Convos with Marilyn. Hi, Clarence. Thank you for joining us on the show today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
As you know, this is Convos with Marilyn. I am the host, Marilyn Madlian. So we have our special guest for this Valentine's season, Clarence Sharp. How do you feel to be here?
It's a tremendous pleasure to be here. I'm grateful for the opportunity, and I'm glad that you were able to reach out to me.
So, for people who don't know who Clarence is, although I highly doubt that, Clarence is not only a popular creative, but a TikTok personality that serves as a comfort zone for people going through hard times in all types of relationships. Clarence's videos not only help us understand how dynamic love is, but makes us understand we might not actually be alone in this journey after all.
Yes, this is true.
So with Convos with Marilyn, we basically try to make our guests as comfortable as possible. So we don't really ask questions. We have conversation based on specific areas. So most of the time we just flow and we just get a general understanding of one topic.
Okay.
Yeah. So your first point is, do you believe that love is subjective?
Oh man. No, I don't think love is subjective. I think it can be placed on anything and everything. It's not really anything that can be classified to a specific or a specific person or anything. Love is not subjective. It can be broad and placed on anything.
Yeah. I believe that love is a sort of thing where I feel like most of the time people try to tell you the kind of love that you're meant to receive, you know? Yeah. Like, you're kind of like, you're just like, oh, but this is what I want. They're like, no, this is what you deserve. And most of the time, like, in this society, like, social media and just like the concentration of like what people think a relationship is meant to be like being in all of that is literally draining.
I agree.
Yeah, I
agree. Social media has played a big part on the way people perceive love and what it's based on, and it has done so much damage that people don't really recognize it until it's too late.
Yeah, I feel like one thing we should all think about is the people who are posting their relationships and like their experiences and telling you, no, you shouldn't like accept this from someone. Those people have gone through certain things. And I always tell people and I always tell my listeners that you should never allow the experiences of other people influence the relationship that you're currently in, because they are made up of a certain, you know, set of principles, and that's not you, you know?
Yes. I think everybody has this conception that what you see on social media is either real or it's something that can be applied to all scenarios when it comes to falling in a relationship or getting in love. And that's not the case. You got too many factors and too many dynamics with everybody all over the world. People are not the same, so you can't really have the same conception from what you see online from other relationships.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah.
And the second point is, do you think external sources should have a say in your relationship? And this is TikTok, friends, family. And before you begin, I just want to say this is probably one of the strongest points here.
Listen, I will forever and stand by that nobody should ever have any type of input in any relationship that you are in.
That's the truth.
Outside sources will totally mess up and screw up your own perception, and then they start to put their own opinions on what your partner is doing. Nobody should ever know what is going on within your relationship. And if it's something that is detrimental or it's taking a turn for the worse, then at that point, that's when you become vocal. But before that, if your relationship is good, you keep that between you and your partner. And that is something that you guys need to build upon. Nobody else deserves entry to that.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. I completely stand on that one.
like I feel like much more like a while ago I said this, and it literally what you said encapsulates that completely. The more you take out of your relationship, the more you have left in it.
That is true. You have to try to keep things between you and your partner. I think that's the biggest part of it.
That's the truth. And most of the times we feel like, okay, but I'm just telling my best friend, like, you know, but then your best friend now has a certain, like, a perception of your partner.
Yes. So
it's, you know, then they now, like, they're like, oh my gosh, he's trash. Like, you know, but you only tell her the bad parts.
Yes.
Because, like, nobody's going to say, like, oh my gosh, we literally played video games for 5 hours. Like, no one cares about that.
Yes.
It's when you're crying and it's when you're at your worst that you tell people and they're like, oh my gosh, you should leave. They're horrible. You mm-hmm. deserve better. And it's just like, you guys are, like, not seeing from both perspectives, one, and you're also seeing from a negative standpoint, because that's what you've made available to them.
Yes, I agree. It's so many factors and so many dynamics that people don't pay attention to when it comes to getting a relationship and then being vocal with the people around about your relationship.
Yeah.
Some people even will tell their friends what their partner is doing. And it could be in a very good aspect, and their friends will get jealous and try to diminish and,
yeah,
like, just completely ruin the relationship simply because you have something that they don't.
Yeah.
You have to be really, really careful and really, really cautious, because people have secret intentions. And even the ones that are close to you are very, very, it can get a little sticky sometimes.
Yeah. I think one thing people fail to understand is that, and this is just like, I'm not sure about every religion, but in my religion, it says that the heart of man is desperately wicked. Like, mm-hmm. like literally. Mm-hmm. So you may be successful, mm-hmm. but because they don't have that kind of success, be in your relationship, with your work, with your goals, like, they don't have that kind of success, involuntarily, they will try to pull you down. Like,
yes.
They might not even know that they're doing it. Like, you may just be like, oh my gosh, he got me roses this day. And they're like, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, that's cool. Like, okay. Like, who really, like, cares about flowers? They'll die anyway.
Yeah, 100%. I think now at this point, because, you know, my mom raised me to be, like, a gentleman, to have chivalry, open the door, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, show up with flowers. And, you know, for the people that see my page, see my content, I made a video. I made a video about showing up to the date with flowers, and the girl ultimately didn't like the flowers. What happened? Yeah.
Yes. Like, when I saw this video, I was like, I remember being so angry amongst the girls in the comment section as well. We were like, okay, but we'll take them. Like,
right.
We'll take them, like, and that's the thing. People like this, people who, and appreciation is one of the biggest, like, acts of virtue. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, when you appreciate something, people want to do more for you. Like, okay, let's say you give her the flowers, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe perhaps she didn't like it, or, like, it wasn't her speed. Like, the fact that somebody went out of their way to give you something should mm-hmm. be enough. You know,
I think what comes down to it, and what makes it so hard with even dating now in this day and age, is that everything is overanalyzed. Like, yeah. Everything is overanalyzed. There's always a deeper meaning. It could be somebody trying to be manipulative or trying to gaslight you into something. And that's not the case. There are still genuine people out here that just want to show up,
be happy,
to a date and be happy. Like, people just want to do something nice simply because of that's the person that they are. It's no ill intentions behind it.
You know, when you said that, it literally struck a chord, like, somewhere. Mm-hmm. Because I was telling someone, and I was also telling my listeners a while ago, no one in our parents' generation knew what the hell gaslighting was.
Yep.
Literally, like, yep. People are out here giving names to things that like, you're overcomplicating the situation. You're making yourself sad. You're like, what the fuck is a sigma?
Yeah.
But let's not get into all of those things. Like, you know, I mean, like, he's him. And
I totally agree. I'm standing behind it 100%. And I think the old idea and the old conception of love has been lost.
Like, yeah.
It's something that needs to be brought back. It is lost. And I don't know what's going on with this day and age. Things just need to be normal. Not everything needs to be overanalyzed.
I feel like our parents had it so good because they were like, I was telling my mom a while ago, and also like a group of elders I was speaking to, that I'm so scared that our generation might not actually get married.
that is a genuine fear. That is a genuine fear. I know at this point, you know, like, because right around the age that I'm at, you know, my mid-20s, like, family members, I know my mom and my dad was together. They were married. They were having kids. Like, by the age of 25, like, they were pretty much settled and they had their life together. And like, I can't even say that I've been to a wedding. I can't say that I've been to anything that has any type of detrimental value to a relationship yet. Like, yeah. I haven't been to one. And it's so scary because my parents growing up, they were involved in things like that. They were going to weddings. They were going to engagement parties. They were going to these events. And now that we look around, everything is just based off of the hookup culture. You got people going on villain arcs. You got people glorifying, you know, like, you it's just a whole bunch of stuff that's just mixed into one pot. That's just not what it's supposed to be. And then we're going to get to a point to where we're 40, we're 50, and then we're trying to figure out, now we got to settle down. And now
and I feel like what you said about the whole thing, it's scary to me because I know that I'm not, and this is not like shade to, and it can't even be shade. It's just my personal preference. But like in the world of cancel culture, you have to be so careful. But yes. I'm sure as hell not going to be anyone's baby mama. I'm going to be a wife.
Right.
Like, I feel like, and of course, like, people, these are circumstances that, and of course, if you're okay with that, perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. But it's a thing where, don't you want an actual agreement between like the person who you love and yourself? Like, build a family and raise a home.
You know, it's a whole dynamic and a whole thing to it. You got a lot of people that try to confuse. See, here's the thing that I will forever stand by, and this is a hill that I will forever die by. People try to confuse compromise with submission, and it's two totally different things. Mm-hmm. People try to put those things in the same category, and it's not the same idea. It's two totally different concepts, especially when you're getting a relationship with somebody. You can't have any type of submission. You submit, being able to submit to somebody, okay, that's cool. A man and a female has to be able to do that. That's of course, especially getting into a relationship. Compromising, you have to be willing to know when you have to put your pride aside. You have to. That's the only way things are going to work.
And I feel like, and that actually leads us into our next question or next point, but I believe that, and this is also a question for you, do you believe that love is worth the stress?
I think it is. I think it is.
That is my own die by hill.
Listen, I am a whole advocate for love. Like, I am a simp. I don't care. I will forever claim it. I will stand by it. Like, the good side of it and the bad side of it, you can't have the good side of love without wanting to experience the bad side. And even in those bad moments, it still allows you to learn yourself a little bit more.
Yeah.
You learn a little bit more about the understanding of what love is. And it's not the base surface level type of stuff. It's deeper than that. It's a deeper connection.
When you said all of that, I just like, I feel like you kind of took the words out of my mouth. Like, because love is more than everything to me. I feel like my whole, like everything, God is love, essentially. So like, you can't fathom the extent people will go to get it. Like, you know, I feel like people try to, there are a lot of holes in people's lives right now. And you try to fill it with drugs, you try to fill it with like, with different things that kind of like, are just like, you know, it won't work, because God has designed human beings to seek a greater cause. And that's love. Do you understand? Like, it's, for me, I'm this is just a personal thing, but there's nothing that's going to stop me from chasing love.
Right. Right.
Like, there's nothing that, like, and there's nothing that I'm not prepared to do to love, when I'm in love with someone, or in love with, like, you know, with my family. Love encompasses family, friends, but you see, the romantic love, the love that you share with just that one person, that you like, you literally want to bring another person into this world with them. Yeah, like, there's nothing that's stopping that
you can't give that up, because the moment that you give that up is when you start to realize, like, everybody, so like, the way I see it is that there are so many outside factors to this. You got the music, you got social media, you got other people's opinions that try to minimize and negate the fact that ultimately love is the cure to everything.
But
in all honesty, like, it, and it's just that simple. That's why it's so hard for people to find it, because you got other people that understand the idea of what love is, but everybody else is so wrapped up in social media. Everybody's so wrapped up in this music. And the music is like crazy, because it has such a huge impact on people's mental that they don't realize it.
These are subliminal messages.
100%.
You know, one thing that I changed, that kind of also changed my perspective on things, the kind of music I started to listen to, I realized, I literally searched up on Google, and you guys can do it as well. I searched up on Google, I searched songs about healthy relationships. Nothing. Like, it literally just showed Ariana Grande's POV.
The thing about it is, and it's all tied and connected when you really think about it.
Yeah.
Like, when you look at how our parents were able to fall in love, it's because of the music that was coming out.
Yeah.
They had music that they was able to show the intimacy to. They had music that they were able to slow dance to. They had that type of music. Nowadays, we don't have that. We don't have that type of music for us to just enjoy and embrace what somebody else in our life could be like.
Yeah.
We don't have that music for us. Everything is drill. Everything is hookup culture based. Like, that's what all the music is that we listen to. And now that we're getting older, we're starting to appreciate what old music was, because it has so much love and compassion and affection into it.
Because people weren't just trying to fuck you. They were trying to marry you. They were trying to see what it was you had to offer. It was about the heart.
Right.
Like, I feel like there is a battle that every generation must face. You know, so it's like, at first, like, you know, generations had wars, generations had poverty, famine, you know, there were different trials, but our generation's trial is ignorance, pure ignorance.
I agree.
We don't know how far we've gone till, you know, we can't get back what we've lost.
But here's the thing. Here's the catch to it. And here's what I will say. You know, we, even at our age group, like our community, like, we did so much time glorifying these people and getting these music artists to the statues that they're at, to the levels that they're at. And when you look at it, some of these music artists don't even stand by some of the words that they speak in their songs.
That's the truth.
They don't stand by it. Like, the moment that they, well, I'm gonna use an example. You know, you got Megan Thee Stallion. She was able to come into the game. She was able to just talk about like sex and violence and hookup culture and,
yeah,
you know, placing men in a category and just all the wrong things. The moment that Megan Thee Stallion got into a relationship, she was gone.
Yeah.
She disappeared. You know, so she spent all of this time getting all and getting everybody to hype her music up and live by the words that she was saying in her songs and stand by her. And then the moment that she gets into a relationship, she disappears. She's a wholehearted, committed woman now. She is all about her relationship. She stands by her relationship. She's a ride or die. And honestly, that's essentially who she is. She is somebody that is wanting love. She was somebody that was wanting love, but she just played the cards the right way to make it seem like it. Like, I don't know. Like, she just played it a little bit different so that way she could present this narrative that she is not seeking love, that she's all about this culture, she's all about the hookup, she's all about this and that. And then the truth comes out when you see her in a relationship. We do it all the time. Like, whenever there's a new upcoming artist, men do it too. We all do it. Like, these rap artists, like, they come out and they talk about violence, they talk about guns, and then the summertime come around and people don't know how to act because everybody out here dissing each other, everybody's shooting each other, everybody killing each other.
Yeah.
People just don't know how to behave. But these artists are not living by what they're talking about. They're not speaking about it.
That's the truth. I feel like for Megan's thing, I feel like her and her relationship, like, of course you can separate the arts from the artist, like, mm-hmm. what you're putting out, like, that's completely fine. But mm-hmm. also, you know, you create the kind of music based on the time that you're in. Mm-hmm. Do you understand me? Like, what you're going through is what you're gonna put out. Like, do you understand? Like, mm-hmm. So perhaps maybe in that moment, it was like, you know, because when you're not in a relationship, or when you're going through something from a past relationship, there's a lot of hate and there's a lot of retaliation in your heart. So mm-hmm. you release that through music. And the people who are listening to her music, or mm-hmm. people who are trying to, like, they are also probably either just trying to vibe, or they are trying to, like, you know, use that music as a coping mechanism for what they are also going through.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, mm-hmm. of course, now Megan, like, and I think she's been in a relationship for quite some time now. Mm-hmm. She's, you know, obviously in a committed relationship and of course, she's also going through tons of other trials, like, you know, the whole thing with Tori and, you mm-hmm. know, like, people, and that's also, like, the kind of music that you listen to, like, and also with the kind of, like, narrative that's going around, like, somebody was shot, that's a mm-hmm. fact.
Yeah.
She's saying this is going on. But mm-hmm. you guys are like, mm-hmm. why is there even a debate about it? Like, why is there still people, like, yeah, people who are trying to go and pick sides? Like, there are no sides. There's facts,
mm-hmm.
you know. But and brings us back to what we're talking about. People try and ignore the facts for whatever mentality or whatever, like, thing that they're on. But mm-hmm. facts will always be facts.
Fact will always be fact.
It will always be fact, regardless of if you're crying about it, if you don't want to hear it, it will still be fact at the end of the day.
I think what it comes down to is that people understand that the facts exist. They just choose not to hear it.
Adhere to it, yeah.
Yeah, they choose to ignore it. They don't want to believe it. They don't want to process it. And first and foremost, they just don't want to get to a point to where somebody else is saying it to them, because they take it as them being judged, or like them being placed under a microscope. And that's not the case at all, because if somebody genuinely values you, they're going to tell you the truth.
Yeah. That's the truth. Like, there's no two ways about it. And when you say, like, that point that you made, if someone values you, they will tell you the truth, is one of the reasons why I, as a person, have a few people in my life that I keep close to me.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also like a lesson to like people who are under the area of love. You should be so intentional about the people who you let into your life.
Mm-hmm.
If there's nothing else that you prioritize, or there's nothing else that you seek out in detail, let that be the first thing. The reason why I love the person who I currently love, and like the people who I currently love, like, is because of truth.
Mm-hmm.
I value truth more than I value, and like, if I'm, for instance, he's the kind of person to, let's say, and sometimes it may be viewed as negativity, like, oh my gosh, why aren't you hyping me up, like, with everything that I do, you understand? Mm-hmm. But when someone sees that you're capable of doing much more than you're doing right now,
mm-hmm.
and then they celebrate you for your bigger wins and tell you to work on your smaller ones, that is what pure love is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And people are like, no, like, and it's so funny because everybody wants to quickly have this opinion on your relationship. They're like, you know what? If he's not buying you flowers, and if he's not doing this, if he's not doing that, then he doesn't love you.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't love you, and I think you should just up and leave because you're just playing yourself. You're just a clown. You're just, and it's just like, okay, but in your relationship, you guys barely even talk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You guys barely even talk. Like, and for a long time, I tried to look at what love was, mm-hmm. through my own lens.
Mm-hmm.
Through my own lens, I tried to understand, like, what is the love that I'm getting? And what's the kind of love that society is telling me that I deserve? Because you can get that car and you can get those roses, but there's no love coming in to that relationship.
That is true.
That's the worst kind of love to feel, when you feel like everything is available. Like, he's constantly telling you that you're pretty. He's constantly taking you out. He's constantly giving you everything, the princess treatment. Mm-hmm. But you're just like, something is missing.
Well, you know, everything now is materialistic. You know? People want the finest of the finest. It's more like a competition now, you know? And it's not like I can sit down and I can write somebody a letter and express all of my love to them in that letter and they'll appreciate it. And nowadays, people associate with them getting, a brand new car, oh, he loves me. Oh, he gave me this amount of money, oh, he loves me. But that's not the case at all. He's just doing that because that is the bare minimum. Them taking out the time to write you those letters, to spend the time with you, to actually get to know you, understand you, and make you happy. Those are the things that define how much love he has for you.
Mm.
It's not based off of materialistic things, because at the end of the day, he can buy you the brand new car and he can give you the brand new purse and the brand new heels and all of this stuff, because that stuff depreciates after it leaves the shelf. After it leaves the shelves, the value of it drops so low, and you'll never be able to get that same thing back. But for you to have something that's worthwhile and worth meaningful, for him to write you a letter, for them to build you a photo collage, all of those things have value. It holds value.
Yeah.
And to somebody else, they might look at it and be like, oh, like, you can't have that, or you can't express that, or you can't show that. Well, that's not the case. You can have those things. It's just, it's not the things that other people value.
That's the truth. That's the truth. And I feel like, and this is probably just God sent, because every single time that you speak on an opinion, it leads us into the next question. But like, this is amazing, because I was about to ask you your opinion on this quote, because I literally said this and I feel like someone told me first, because I literally forget all the time. But they said, do you believe that your partner's 100% might be your 2%?
I believe that your partner should always be able to put a microscope on your flaws. Hmm. You can do as much work alone as possible, but if you do not have somebody in your corner that is able to tell you the things that you are doing wrong and make you face the things that you're avoiding, that's not love. That partner does not care about you, and he does not want you to grow. They yeah. don't want to see you succeed.
Yeah.
Your partner, it's almost like dating a mirror.
Yeah.
Essentially is what it's like, because to be able to look at something and have them point it back out to you, it's scary at first, 100%. We all get terrified at the idea of it. But to be able to look at something and have it pointed out to you, it just means that they want you to work on these areas because they know that these are the areas that are hurting you the most.
Yeah. And I was about to say something, but you literally just shifted my mind to something that's not even like in my notes. But do you believe that the way somebody is brought up affects the way they're able to show love to someone who they actually genuinely love?
I necessarily don't believe that. I don't believe that, because I'm going to use me as an example. Growing up at a young age, my mom and my dad was together. I was able to see them at an adolescent age to where they were growing up, and they had a meaningful relationship. And then at some point in time, it became a single parent household. With it being a single parent household, it allowed me to understand the importance of me wanting somebody to be present with me. You know, like I grew up in a single parent household. I understand the idea of what it's like to be independent. I'm well capable of standing on my own two feet, because that's what my mom showed me. I'm able to do that. But I value the idea and the appreciation of what a relationship can bring far more than being an independent person is. I don't think any upbringing changes the way people perceive it. I think it's all about who you are and what you want. Your environment does not play a part in it.
But I feel like, and of course, like what you said is completely right, because if you're a loving person, you will be a loving person regardless of, you know, the factors in your life. Mm-hmm. But look at this scenario, and I feel like scenarios also have a part to play, you know, when we say someone grew up in a loveless house, you can think about it like they never even saw what love was meant to be. Mm-hmm. And they never got it from their parents. So how are they able? You can't give what you didn't get. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's like, okay, perhaps, let's not even use abusive relationships, because people don't talk enough about households that were completely like no one is beating anybody, mm-hmm. but he just doesn't care about her. Like, mm-hmm. like he's just coming in from work and there are no pecks on the cheeks. There are no, but I'm a very loving person, mm-hmm. because my dad showed me like what it is to love someone the way he loved my mom. Mm-hmm. So it kind of made me want that in my life. One, I wanted to show it and I wanted to receive that. But I also used to think about, and I also saw it in someone else's life, what it is to grow up in a household where it's like, it's not there. Mm-hmm. You're not eating breakfast together. Like, mm-hmm. There's no sweetness. It's kind of like you guys are just kind of in a contract house. Mm-hmm. Like, let's just be together so that everyone can leave us the fuck alone. Like, mm-hmm. that's how. And you're just like, okay, how is that person meant to, you know? But you know what I believe what you didn't get can be learned. Mm-hmm. It can be learned, and if that kind of person should enter a relationship, instead of leaving them and saying, oh my gosh, you're not capable of, like, you know, like, let me go and find my billionaire. Like, you know, like, mm-hmm. it's like, and that's why I asked you, is love worth the stress? Because I am the kind, like, and this is not for everybody, like, your tenacity and also what you're willing to take in a relationship varies within mm-hmm. people. But I'm the kind of person that will probably try to teach you and give you what you didn't get.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe that, like, if you see it, you understand it, mm-hmm. you know? Like, you and everybody under the, like, the face of the earth, like, on the face of the earth, sorry, deserves love. That's mm-hmm. true. If they're a serial killer, if they're literally like your everyday like bus driver, they deserve love.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I'm willing to factor that into each and every relationship in my life. So the person, and until the moment when you actually start to chip away at my goals and my heart and, like, you know, just basically what God has placed me in this earth to do, that's when I have to let you go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if you have, like, because I always think about it, like, why hasn't God abandoned us when we're so disrespectful, we're so, you know, because he has love, he is love.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and if God is literally making all these exceptions for you, like, why can't you make the exceptions for people who are in your life? Why can't you see through? And one thing you should also realize is once you pray, and once you also, like, talk to, you know, whatever higher being you are, you know, in communication with, they will always remove the people who are not meant to be in your life.
Right. 100%.
They will always remove the people who are not meant to be in your life.
100%. I understand the importance of religion. Like, I that is the main thing that I try to keep at my front center. And if God hand is not in the middle of it, I don't want it at all.
Mm.
It's not in the midst of it. If he does not have his hand on it, I do not want to be involved at all whatsoever. My grandfather was a pastor. I understand the importance of what religion is, and I understand what religion can do for a healthy relationship when he's mm-hmm. of it. I understand the importance of it. People try so hard to avoid it instead of embracing what it actually can do. And what it has done for me in my life is allowed me to filter out some of the people that I thought were for me that absolutely yeah. weren't. It allowed me to filter that out in the healthiest way possible, because you have no idea.
Yeah. I think another thing, because one of my aunts, she told me, we were all having a conversation, and she told me, do you know that people are meant for a certain period?
Mm.
There are some people who are meant to, they're meant to be in your life for 3 years, and then you're meant to be with someone else. There is always someone that will be for your character development.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's not a matter of, is this person for me? Is this person going to teach me something? Mm-hmm. Everybody who has, like, you know, been in my life and has left my life has always given me something to hold on to. Like, if you're not learning something from them, God is probably making you more cautious.
Mm-hmm.
He's making you understand that the love that you're getting from somebody else can be gotten from him in tenfold.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to make you understand that you have to love yourself and love the being that he created before you love someone else. Mm-hmm. There's so many things. And there's a kind of success that you, a level of success that you reach, that you understand, like, wow, maybe I might actually want someone now, and that person who I was holding on to was a distraction.
True. Yes. I totally agree. I can't tell you how many times I'd have been in a relationship where things were one-sided, and I stayed because I didn't know how to appreciate myself as a person.
Yeah.
As an individual, I stayed and I put up with things that I shouldn't have put up with. And the moment that I started to see that, value myself, and remove myself out of those situations, I became more aware and more appreciative of the person that I am and the identity that I hold as an individual. Yeah. You know, we are special people. Everybody is tremendously amazing and blessed in their own way. It is up for us to see that. It's up for us to recognize that. And the moment that you recognize it, you'll be able to bring that to the table and people will be able to appreciate it a little bit more, appreciate you a little bit more and understand you a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, once you see your own value, you'll be able to appreciate it and it'll allow other people to kind of see, okay, I know I have to step up my game. I know I got to come and show this person the right type of love and care because they have their own self-worth and they understand the amount of love that they deserve.
That's the truth. And do you know one thing I've learned, like currently, like the current relationships and the current relationship I'm in, this person taught me that I didn't even understand my worth fully.
Mm.
Wow. I was like, do you know what that is? Like, when like he's telling you, like, bro, you don't even understand, like, you don't even love yourself enough.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even understand the things you've accomplished in such little time. Mm-hmm. You're not even, like, understanding the pedestal that you're meant to be on. Mm-hmm. And you're like, wow. Like, mm-hmm. And, like, there's some things that honestly shock me because of how dynamic love really is and how dynamic the places that people have in your life can actually be. Like, because I was just looking at myself like, okay, so yeah, that's that. Like, you know, like I was like, we actually don't know. Sometimes we never actually look back at how much we've been through, how much we've created, how much our eyes have seen,
mm-hmm.
you know, to actually be like, wow, like I deserve much more than I'm, you know, I don't even want to use the word settling for, like, I'm not even chasing what I meant to chase. He's the one that taught me that the people who I'm, what's the word? People who I'm panning for and the people who I'm overhyping,
mm-hmm.
are probably like, can't even do 2% of what I've done.
Yep. Yep. It takes us a very long time to recognize that. Very long time. It takes us a very long time. We get so used to placing our own self into a box and trying to make sure that we are staying. I know for me, like I try to keep myself grounded and keep myself humble and allow myself to understand what I got in front of me. But I don't think, you know, there is nobody that I was surrounded with that would be able to handle the task that God has given me.
That's,
you know, God has given you this task because he knew that you could handle it. He blessed you with this opportunity because he knew that you could handle it.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't see the true value and the true appreciation for that. And then we start to minimize it and try to make it a lot smaller than what it is. And no, it's a huge accomplishment. Like, it is a huge thing that deserves to be glorified, whether it's from the people around you or just from you as an individual. Like, these are huge accomplishments.
Yeah. That's the truth. And another thing I wanted to add before I forget, when you are succeeding, you will most likely want praise from people who aren't giving it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the case for me, like a lot of times. I'm just like, why isn't this person who's supposedly close to me, like, doing the most, like these people who don't even know me?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, and when you are okay within yourself, you give yourself the motivation that you, like, seek from other people.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to understand that, okay, like, this is who I am and this is what I've accomplished. This is what the accolades I deserve. Like, these are the flowers I'm meant to get. you know? Like, nothing and no one else matters at the end of the day but yourself.
That is true. That is true. You got to put yourself first before anything else. You know, we get to a point to where we want to do it and then we feel guilty about doing it because it makes us feel like we're selfish.
Yeah.
But in some situations, it's okay to be selfish, especially when it comes to you. Like, you have to be able to put yourself at the front center because it just shows how much trust you have in you as an individual. That's not you being cocky. That's not you being conceited. That's just you having the faith and knowing that you're capable of doing this.
That's
what it's all about.
That's the truth. And another thing is, and we have to round up soon because I literally said in the email 25 to 30 and I'm taking so much of Clarence's time. But literally one thing that if you've not heard anything that we've said in this podcast episode, take this. Always tell the higher being, just tell God or like, you know, that you're grateful. Tell them that you literally don't take anything for granted. Like the fact that you're waking up, the fact that you're listening to this, you can hear me and you're literally on the sound of my voice. You have the Wi-Fi, the phone, the air, the food. Be grateful. It makes your life literally better. And you understand that there's so many things you're taking for granted that are enhancing or that would enhance the quality of someone else's life.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I totally agree.
And this is our last question for Clarence. Is TikTok and helping others on social media a coping mechanism or was it ever?
It definitely was a coping mechanism. I know that from a very young age, I knew that I have put my, well, that I was put on earth to help people.
Yeah.
It's a task that I knew that I was given from a very young age. And now, you know, God has blessed me with the opportunity and the step to be able to further this. And, you know, I'm not going to take it for granted. It definitely is a coping mechanism for me because, you know, I get on that app and there's days where, you know, things are hard for me. You know, I have very hard times and hard days as well, but I get on to see the amount of love and support that is expressed, not only from me, but for the people that, you know, support my page and for the people that have been watching my videos in the comment section, they're uplifting each other.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like they're coming in there and bashing each other and dragging each other. No, it's a community of people uplifting each other. And that in itself is so much powerful. It's so powerful because, you know, that's the last thing that you see on these apps. It's an amazing thing to witness. It helps me out throughout the day and just being able to get on there and talk to people and help them out. That it makes my day so much more better.
No, you make my day. like obviously, like in everyone's relationship, there are hard days. But that's literally when you pop on my FYP. It's like literally like, it's like, oh my gosh, how does it literally always happens like that. Like it literally, like every single time I'm sad, I'm just like, and then there's that familiar like sound that you use. And then I'm always the one in the hoodie because that's the one that's the persona that's getting hurt. And I'm just like, yeah. Like, I'm literally like your TikToks have allowed me as a person, my listeners, people who I know. And when I'm doing the promotions for this video, I'm going to go all out because this is a tremendous honor for people who are listening, like for me as a creative myself, and just for this podcast, that we are able to have someone who is literally depicting our mission statement, like using relatability to heal other people.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much. I really appreciate that.
Like, and I just cannot wait to start, like, to actually put this out. So by the time you guys will be listening to this, I'll probably be releasing this on the 16th. I believe either the 16th or the 17th, but Clarence and I will let you know and work it out. this has been one of the best episodes ever. And I'm so grateful and honored and blessed to have had you on my podcast.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
I look forward to having you like sometime. Like, of course, you'd have gotten to greater heights. So we'll definitely be seeing each other again. And you guys should stay tuned for the outro.
Of course, of course.
Yeah. Okay, Clarence. Bye for now.
All right, bye-bye.
You just listened to Convos with Marilyn. Thank you so much for giving me your time and listening to my podcast. If you enjoyed it, please follow the show and give us your honest ratings. Stay tuned and definitely keep listening for more. Bye for now.